In this Dharma hall, the monks, the lay devotees who are here, they come to practice Satipatthana meditation. From the time they have learned how to practice in order to develop and cultivate both the mind and the knowledge, they are called yogis. Because they have the name yogi, it is necessary for them to practice like a true yogi so that the person will be in accordance with his or her name. The definition of the yogi is bhavanaya yota payota daya yogi, meaning that yogi is the person who is endowed with the diligent effort in order to develop both the mind and the knowledge. In the word yogi, there is the word yoga. Yoga means effort. This effort has three stages: the initial effort, step up effort, and culminating effort in order to reach one's goal. The person who is endowed with all these three stages of effort is called a yogi. The person who is endowed with these three stages of effort will be able to practice till he, she realizes his or her goal. Bhavana means the practice that develops, cultivates, and increases the mind and the knowledge. If the mind is let go freely, the mind will not be developed. In everyday life, in the worldly life, people are lacking mindfulness. Lacking mindfulness, there will not be protection away from the defilements that gives the most trouble. Having no protection with mindfulness, when the person comes across desirable objects, there can be greed, loba. When one comes across undesirable objects, there will be dosa, anger, aversion, hatred. Not knowing the true nature, the mind is deluded. There will be moha. Knowing wrongly, and the mind will be dirty and polluted. A dirty, polluted mind is inferior and it is of low class. In order to uplift so that one's mind will not be inferior or degraded, one should make one's mind purified. In order to purify one's mind, one should develop and cultivate both the mind and the knowledge, and it is called bhavana. One has to practice bhavana so that one's mind will be pure, clean, high, and one will also develop, cultivate knowledge so that knowledge will become mature. In order to do so, one has to exert effort. One has to exert initial effort, step up effort in order to overcome laziness, and one should exert culminating effort till one reaches one's goal. The person who is endowed with these three stages of effort is called a yogi. Among the three stages of effort, the first one is initial effort. After one has learned the correct method of practice, one should choose the place to sit, and when sitting, the primary object is rising and falling of the abdomen. One has to focus one's mind on the abdomen. When one breathes in, there will be rising of the abdomen. One has to note so that the mind will stick onto the rising of the abdomen. One has to note so that mindfulness will be sustained on the object and the mind falls calm and collected on the object. In noting the object, one has to exert effort. One should always be active, alert, ready to note the object. When falling of the abdomen takes place, one has to note so that the mindfulness will stick onto the falling of the abdomen and the mind falls calm and collected on the object. In this way, one has to exert ardent effort in noting the object so that one can follow rising and falling. One has to note so that one can follow every rising, every falling. In order to note, one has to exert initial effort. While noting rising and falling, at times laziness can arise. When one is expecting benefits, and if there is a lot of thinking going on, in the beginning, the person will not see the benefits, and thus laziness arises. And especially when there are unpleasant sensations, such as pains and aches, the person does not want to face these unpleasant sensations. And when a person is cowardly, the person does not want to continue. And usually people are used to staying in comfort. So when pain arises, they want to shift their position and they don't want to face the pain. They want to withdraw by changing posture. But yogis are encouraged to sit without moving with patience. When there is the tendency to withdraw, one should not indulge in it. And one should step up the effort in order to overcome laziness. One should boost up the effort in order to drive out laziness. And one develops knowledge stage by stage. And one should exert effort stage by stage till one reaches one's goal. So in the practice, one should have one's goal of at least attaining the first path and fruition knowledge. One should set this Magapala Jnana, at least the first path and fruition knowledge, as one's own goal. So this retreat is for 1 month. So it is a sufficient time in order to reach one's own goal of attaining at least the first path and fruition knowledge. In order to reach one's goal, of first path and fruition knowledge, one should assert effort stage by stage. Stage by stage effort till one finally reaches one's goal, it is called Parakamma Dhatu. A person who is endowed with all these three stages of effort, whether the person is a monk or a lay person, whether male or female, the person who is endowed with these three stages of effort is called a yogi. So by being endowed with these three stages of effort, one will not be a yogi by name, but one will be a true yogi. In order to meet one's goal, one has to practice diligently, and one has to practice in according to the instructions and guidance. Knowing the correct method of practice, one should make one's own time worthwhile by practicing diligently. Coming here to this meditation retreat, yogis have to give up their worldly pleasure. So young people, they also have to give up having fun in the worldly life, has to be given up in order to join this retreat. And also for those who have family, they have to give up the worldly pleasure. So giving up this worldly pleasure, one comes to this retreat. And by practicing, one can gain the Dhamma happiness that excels many times than the worldly happiness. But if the yogi is practicing flippantly in an easygoing manner, they lose the worldly happiness as they had to give up in order to come to this retreat. And at the same time, if they do not practice diligently, they will also lose to gain the Dhamma happiness. And thus, there will be two kinds of losses, both the worldly happiness as well as the Dhamma happiness, if they are practicing in an easygoing way. So yogis should not let this happen. In this retreat, coming to the retreat, yogis are giving up the happiness that is insignificant in order to gain the Dhamma happiness that has more guarantee. And Saraji thinks that yogi will not be practicing in an easygoing manner. So Saraji said, for those yogis who practice diligently according to the instructions, yogis will gain the Dhamma happiness, and it is guaranteed. In order to practice diligently, in order to become high-class yogi, in order to meet one's high goal, it is important not to have any kind of danger during the practice. So yogis should prevent these danger from arising. And there is the way of the four guardian meditation, Chatura Rakha Bhavana, that has been practiced in the past. By practicing Chatura Rakha Bhavana, the four guardian meditation, one will be free from harm or danger in the practice. By practicing the four guardian meditation, one will be able to practice without harm and danger, and it will also be maintaining the custom of a practitioner. And also the yogis in the future will also be able to maintain this custom of practicing Chatura Rakha Bhavana. So Saraji will explain Chaturarakha Bhavana, Four Guardian Meditation, in brief. The first one is Buddha Nusati, contemplating, reflecting the virtues of the Buddha. The second is Metta, radiating loving kindness towards beings. And the third is Asubha Bhavana, contemplating on the foulness. And Maranasati, contemplating the death. The first one, Buddha Nusati, contemplating the virtues of the Buddha. There are many virtues of the Buddha. It will be sufficient to contemplate on any one of the virtues. The best one is that Buddha had totally eradicated all the defilements. One can contemplate on that virtue. The defilements that can arise by seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, these defilements were totally eradicated, uprooted by the Buddha. Buddha eradicated all these defilements. The defilements that can arise are totally uprooted. Even though Buddha came across desirable objects, there will not be greed. Buddha eradicated all these defilements from the root. So the mind will not be polluted by these defilements. And thus, there is no transgression. Buddha will not commit any kind of transgression, any kind of rudeness. Tanto so Bhagava, meaning that Buddha was totally tamed by eradicating all the defilements. By eradicating all the rudeness, the defilements, Buddha was totally pure and tamed, physically, verbally, and mentally. Because Buddha was totally purified from these defilements, Buddha was totally tamed. And Buddha practiced this way in order to tame himself. Dhammataya dhamman deseti, Buddha taught the Dhamma so that beings will be tamed by removing the defilements. And Buddha taught sila, samadhi, and panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. Buddha attained sabbanyuta jnana, omniscient knowledge, through the practice of satipatthana, and Buddha became totally tamed and cultured. Buddha taught the beings so that other beings can also be tamed, so that beings will become kalyana puttojana. And Buddha is not satisfied by that stage. Buddha taught so that beings will be totally tamed by removing all the defilements. And Buddha can only be satisfied if the beings also become tamed by removing all the defilements. So one has to reflect the virtue of the Buddha. By being able to control oneself, one's bodily behavior, verbal behavior, and mental behavior will be blameless, tamed and cultured. By removing the defilements, one will be able to have good control of oneself, and one will be free from physical and mental suffering. One should have empathy towards others. Just as one can get hurt, in the same way, if one torments others, the others will be hurt. So in this way, one has to control oneself so that others will not get hurt. By protecting others from getting hurt, one automatically controls oneself. So it is two at a blow. By this much, one will have more faith and confidence in the virtue of the Buddha, as Buddha taught the true culture. The teachings of the Buddha are called Buddha Sasana, the teachings of the Buddha, the Buddhist culture. The person who is contemplating Buddha Nusati, or the person who hears about the virtue of the Buddha, will start to have faith and confidence in the Buddha Sasana. And the person who has already had faith and confidence will also increase his or her faith and confidence. Such kind of person will not want the Buddhist culture within oneself to deteriorate, and thus the person will take even more care to purify one's body, speech, and mind. And as much one controls oneself, physically, verbally, mentally, there will be more culture. By being endowed with the Buddhist culture, one will also want others to be endowed with the Buddhist culture, and thus one will work in order to spread the Buddhist culture so that the surrounding will also become peaceful. By practicing Buddha Nusati, by contemplating the virtue of the Buddha, in the practice, when one comes across the frightening signs during the practice, one will not be afraid. So at times when one develops samadhi, there can be some frightening signs that arise, like a daydream. By practicing Buddha Nusati, by contemplating the virtues of the Buddha, one will not have these frightening signs during the practice. And also there are other benefits by practicing contemplating Buddha Nusati. For those who are reluctant to pay respect to person, to the Buddha, Saraji will not convince them to do so. But they can reflect the virtues of the Dhamma. Among the six virtues of the Dhamma, the virtue Swakata, the Dhamma is well taught by the Buddha. Buddha well taught the theory and the practice so that beings can be purified in body, speech, and mind, so that physical, verbal, mental behavior will be pure, clean, and tamed. By learning the correct method of practice and by practicing according to the instructions, one gains benefits of the practice. The practice and the benefits are in accordance. For example, one has to refrain from killing. Just as one does not like to be killed, one has to refrain killing others. By refraining from killing, one will be pure in bodily action. By refraining from killing, one will be purified in bodily action as well as others will not get hurt. So the practice and the benefits are in accordance. And in the Satipatthana practice, one has to note the rising and falling of the abdomen as the primary object. One has to note rising, falling with sustained mindfulness. By asserting effort in the noting, the defilement such as laziness has no chance to arise. By asserting effort, defilements will not have any chance to arise. And there will be mindfulness. Having mindfulness, the mind is guarded, protected away from defilements. And when the noting mind falls calm and collected on the object, there will be samadhi. The mind will not be distracted. There will not be any agitation with the defilements, raga, and so on. By developing knowledge, one removes wrong view. As much one develops knowledge, the more one removes wrong view. Swakata, meaning the Dhamma, is well taught. By knowing the correct method of practice and by practicing accurately according to the instructions, one will gain benefit in accordance. So for those who are reluctant to pay respect to the Buddha, instead of contemplating on the virtue of the Buddha, they can contemplate the virtue of the Dhamma. They can reflect this virtue, Swakata, and it is quite sufficient. A normal person, when reflecting the cause and effect, they can build faith and confidence in the Buddha. But for those who are eccentric in their own belief, will not be easy to have faith and confidence. Among the virtues of the Buddha, there is Vijja-Jarana-Sampanna. Buddha was endowed with both knowledge and conduct. Buddha guided the beings in order to refrain from wrongful things and to perform wholesome things. Buddha was endowed with the knowledge what is beneficial and what is harmful. Buddha had many knowledges. Among them, there is the knowledge that understands distinctly between what is beneficial and what is harmful. And there is charana conduct. Among the charana conduct, there is mahakaruna. Buddha was endowed with the great compassion. Buddha had great compassion towards beings that Buddha did not want beings to suffer. Wanting the beings to be free from suffering. Understanding what is beneficial and what is harmful, Buddha guided the beings to refrain from wrongful things so that beings will not meet harm. And Buddha gave instruction to do wholesome things so that beings will gain benefits. Buddha taught from the knowledge as well as Mahakaruna, great compassion. Through knowledge, Buddha could give instruction so that beings will gain benefits. And with Mahakaruna, great compassion, Buddha could prohibit beings from doing wrongful things. Because Buddha was endowed with both knowledge and great compassion, Buddha could instruct beings so that beings will gain benefit, and Buddha could make the beings refrain from wrongful things, and thus beings does not meet harm. If a person only has knowledge but no compassion, it will not be enough. Having compassion alone, without the knowledge differentiating what is beneficial and what is harmful, it is not enough. But Buddha was endowed with both knowledge and compassion, that Buddha could lead the beings to do wholesome things to bring benefit, and to refrain from unwholesome thing, to be free from harm. And yogis are now practicing Satipatthana meditation. It is because Buddha taught that by practicing Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, one will not meet harm, and by the practice of Sila, Samadhi, Panya, it can lead to benefits. Buddha himself practiced Satipatthana meditation, and Buddha was totally fulfilled, totally accomplished with Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. And Buddha eradicated all the rudeness, all the defilements, and thus Buddha was endowed with the virtue of being totally purified. Buddha had various virtues, which are compared to various flowers in a garden. A person who likes flowers cannot be satisfied by looking at the flowers one after another. In the same way, the person who has faith and confidence in the Buddha can never be satisfied by reflecting, contemplating the virtues of the Buddha one after another. In the practice, one can practice one of the many virtues of the Buddha, and it will be sufficient in the practice to reflect only one among many of the virtues of the Buddha for those who have faith and confidence in the Buddha. But for those who does not have faith and confidence as yet on the Buddha, it will be sufficient for them to reflect the virtue of the Dhamma, the Swakata that Saraji had explained. And the time is up. Saraji first initially intended to explain all four, but as time is up, he will continue the next day. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.